Today is Reformation Sunday. And the word Reformation is rarely heard nowadays, except occasionally within the four walls of the Bible Presbyterian Church. You realize that? I'm very sure. If you go to the average church in Singapore, you do not hear the word. But to us who love the Lord and His word, this word is a very precious word, for it tells us of the greatest deliverance of the church since Pentecost. Today, that word and the memory of the event is systematically submerged. There is a media blackout. Why? Answer: the media is in the control of the enemies of the gospel. Don't be startled. You say, well, my friend is the editor of Straits Times. How come he be enemy of the gospel? Well, we are speaking in very spiritual terms, that the whole media of the world is under control of the ecumenical movement. And the ecumenical movement has no place for the Reformation. They say, oh, don't bring that up. That unfortunate quarrel in the family is best forgotten. There is no greater miscarriage of truth than that statement. What statement, you say? The statement that the Reformation was a quarrel in the family. And therefore, within the family, you should always reconcile and forget it, forget it. Dear friends, today the word Reformation is forgotten. Shortly it shall be forbidden. You're not allowed to go talk about Reformation. I want to read to you some verses from Jeremiah 6. Verse 9 of Jeremiah 6. Thus said the Lord of hosts, they shall truly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape bearer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Up to here. Dear friends, today is a day of warning. And while we have ears, I say, please listen. The Word of God has serious warning for all of us, that there is a great betrayal in the Church of Jesus Christ today. Even as there was a great betrayal of the church in the time of Jeremiah. That is why Jeremiah wrote this book of Jeremiah, and this chapter in particular. Look at verse 13. From the least to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. Superficially saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. What are we talking about? In the day of Jeremiah, there was great apostasy, backsliding, and betrayal of the word of God in the church. But those in charge, priests, prophets, those who were in control of the church, they were not interested in the salvation of souls. All they wanted was that the machinery may flow on. Covetousness. That everything will be business as usual. People pay their dues. The priests are paid. Everything goes on. Today is the same. The church is become a worldly machine. As long as things go on, don't rock the boat. We are going to unite. Man is able. Able to do what? Dear friends, we live in perilous times and the world knows it. Men of the world understand the threat of a third world war, in which there will be no survivors. What must we do? Men of the world says, we will do it. We can. By what? Answer, ecumenical movement. This is why there is the ecumenical movement. You see, this movement is prophetic. It will achieve what it wants to achieve. Because it is prophetic. God says it will happen. Nothing will stop it. But on this day of the Reformation, the annual remembrance of that great event, we, the Church of Jesus Christ, the believers, the ones who follow the Lord Jesus Christ and return to His Word, we remind ourselves there was a day in 1517 when one man stood against the whole church, against all the powers that be, and said, there is something wrong in the Church of God. He asked questions, and those questions sparked off the 16th century Reformation. We are here to remember and to thank God and to say, Lord, I thank Thee for people like Martin Luther, like John Calvin in Scotland, in France, like John Knox in Scotland, or like Ulrich Zwingli in Switzerland. These people, receiving the light of God, could not hold, but they had to speak out. And there came a great movement of the Reformation. What is the Reformation? Return to the Word of God. Return to true worship. No longer a system invented by man, which enslaved men, souls of men enslaved, where men are told, buy this piece of paper and your soul or the soul of someone in purgatory is going to get out very fast. Only pay, and we pray that soul get out. This is the Reformation, when men awoke to the truth of the Word of God and said, now, what we need is the Word of God. So here we are, dear friends, to remind ourselves and to be grateful for what the Lord has done. Oh, dear friends, that table of remembrance is to help us not to be ungrateful. The Lamb of God who shed His blood for you and me, the Lord Jesus Christ, never forget Him. Always remember Him, right? That's why we come to the table. Now, Reformation Sunday is for us to come once a year, and I say not once a year, every day. But on this day especially to say, there was a time in the year 1517 that God raised men who were fearless, prepared to die. Indeed, many of them died. Millions died for the faith. Millions were burned at the stake for refusing to believe in false teaching. That is the Reformation. Now, we are here in order to recall that we may be strengthened in the most holy faith, to know that our founding fathers of this Bible Presbyterian Church in the year 1950 chose to take the same stand as who? As the reformers in the year 1517 and in the 16th century. They, as it were, stuck their necks out, ready to die. So are we. I say, unless and until you are ready to die your faith, or die for your faith, you're not ready to live for your faith. True? Oh yes, it is a very drastic statement. But today we live in perilous times. As I said, Reformation is a forgotten word today. Tomorrow it may become a forbidden word. You don't not to talk about it. Don't rake up the past. It's bad. It is bad. Yes, in the year 1994, a man called Charles Colson, he was one of those involved in the Watergate scandal together with President Nixon. You remember that? All your memories have faded, haven't you? Charles Colson, to pay for his misdeeds, became an evangelist to the prisons, and he started the Prisons Fellowship. Today he's grown to 50,000 strong, and Charles Colson is like a hero. In the year 1993, he was the key and star performer in the Parliament of World Religions. Now, what is the Parliament of World Religions? It met in Chicago, and there all the people came, hundreds and thousands, to form a world religion parliament so that all religions unite. How about that? Good? Oh, yes. Very good. Very good for the world. Very good for today. Very good for the future, because if all religions unite and all political parties also come together and all the powers that be unite for you and me, there will not be a World War III. Now, we are telling you stark realities, facts, real issues. You do not know. You don't hear about it. It's not in the newspapers. But these things happen. Now, Charles Colson was the man. 6 months later, he issued this, Evangelicals and Catholics Together. I have spoken about this a few times, and in case you have forgotten, I remind you, there is such a thing called ECT 1994. Say, why do you keep telling us about these things? The Lord says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You must know. And thank God that we have leaders who know, who go out of their ways to know things that happen that will affect your life and my life in the day to come. Yes? 1994 is only 2 years ago. And this statement says, we the evangelicals and the Catholics have come together. We have consulted 18 months, intensive discussions. Finally, we have come to the conclusion, today's evangelicals and Catholics are the same. Now sit back and think, please. Who doesn't want peace? Who doesn't want to be loving and seem to be kind and conciliatory? Why not? It's good, isn't it? Why do you talk like a very narrow-minded bigot? That's bad, isn't it? Of course. Dear friends, this is the genius of ECT 1994. In case you want to read more about it, walk to the book room. It's there, available for you. ECT 1994. So that you know things are happening. Evangelicals have declared it. 1994. But long before 1994, Billy Graham had said it already. 1957. When he was decorated, he says, my gospel and your gospel are the same. So this is the trend today. Don't say you are exclusive. It's very bad, isn't it? Oh yes, I attend a wedding, and it's Roman Catholic. And it is so evangelical, so kind. The prayer is so correct. Everything is so well done. The people are so kind to me. I go away from the meeting, I say, my, maybe I'm mistaken. Right? We are to be the same. Evangelical and Catholic and liberals and very soon Buddhists and all the other religions, all the same. This is a trend. And nothing will stop the trend, dear friends. And we are going to be found out as the odd man out. Who? Bible Presbyterians. The troublemakers. Reformation Sunday is a Sunday where we come together and assure ourselves, reinforce our convictions that we who have the Word of God know where we stand, know what is the future for us, know what we are liable to face in the future, and then we say, Lord, help us. Right? If we have the truth, nothing must push us, must move us from the truth, because only the truth can save you, not numbers. Oh, dear friends, today is numbers. It's a numbers game. If more people vote for you, you're all right. They voted in a certain church in the Michigan area. Did Jesus Christ rise from the dead? 80% of the church says no. Therefore, Jesus Christ never rose from the dead. That's it. It's settled. How? Numbers. My dear friends, we are living in the age of numbers. By numbers, truth is established. So you ask, is it good? The evangelicals and Catholics are together. Vote. 90% will say, very good. This is a problem. So, dear friends, I want to turn you always to God's Word. For out of the Reformation, the first thing that came out was sola scriptura. What is sola scriptura? In all Latin? Soli scriptura, it says. Only scripture. Only the word of God. So turn to word of God now. Verse 15. Verse 14 first. They have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. The people of God are the daughter of my people. That refers to the Israelites. And there was great corruption. There was great darkness. The people didn't know how to be saved. They had lost the gospel. The light was dimmed and darkened. And the priests and the prophets kept telling them, you're all right, you're all right. As long as you follow us and listen to us, you're all right. Peace, peace. The word of God says, not all right. You tell them, peace, peace. There is no peace. Not by man's words. How can you have peace? Answer, back to the word of God. Verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? The abomination of saying, we and they are the same. There is great abomination and great blasphemy and great betrayal of the faith, and the true teaching of the Church of Jesus Christ has been betrayed. Now you talk to them. You call G.I. Packer, Mr. Packer, Professor, John Stott, Billy Graham, and Charles Colson, and all the rest, and Bill Bright, all of them have signed. Well, they may not have literally signed, but they are endorsers. They support it. Ask them, why did you sign? They say, hey, you don't know. This is the modern trend. This is the way we should be. This is the only way ahead of us. Are they ashamed? Verse 15. Look, listen. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? There is no greater abomination since the Reformation, 1994. Since 1517 till 1994, there was no greater abomination than the ECT 1994. Do you know that? Right? Then you ask them. People interviewed Professor J.I. Packer, and he defends himself. He shows how clever his statement is, how right he is. You all are wrong. I'm right. Verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed the abomination? Nay, nay, nay. All the evangelicals today are very proud that they are setting the trend. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, said the Lord. Dear friends, I want to say again that you will never forget it. We are not in the numbers game. Truth cannot be settled by numbers. Doctrine of salvation cannot be settled by numbers. When all the world votes for the certain doctrine that now all religions are the same, are good, it does not settle the truth. You agree? Where is the truth? Sola scriptura. Only the word of God. There is a truth. There is a salvation. Outside of this book, there is no salvation. Now, when you come to that position, you say, come what may. As I said, you are not ready to live until you are ready to die for your faith. And this has to be in the day to come. We will be tested. Whether we will go through the whole testing or not, I do not know. But there will be time of testing. And those who stand for the Reformation, you are in trouble. Are you afraid? I said, dear friends, the Lord says, fear not him who can harm your body, but not your soul. But fear him who has power to cast body and soul into hell. And that is the coming Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here that all these who are not ashamed of their abominations, they will be cast down. Numbers do not count. Please. For the Lord Jesus, whom we love, who loves us, and who died for us, he's coming for us. This makes all the difference. What do you say? Only one thing makes all the difference. That our Lord Jesus, whom we remember, whom we love, because he first loved us, is what? Coming again. Coming again in power and great glory. And he will settle all scores. He will bring everything to judgment, all on earth. Those who call themselves Christians, evangelicals, will have to stand before the Lord Jesus to answer questions. Do you know that? Ah, that makes all the difference. If the Lord had not risen, if the Lord were not coming again, I say, the first thing we do is to dismantle this church. And what? Join the ecumenical movement. You agree? Agree or not? You think so? You think that's logic? That's reasonable? Absolutely! Absolutely! If the Lord Jesus did not rise from the dead, and He's not coming again, please, we all dismantle our church today. And let us be happy. Eat, drink, be merry. Join the ecumenical movement today. Today. But, praise the Lord, we have an everlasting living Savior. Do you know Him? Do you love Him? Do you prepare for His coming again soon? Oh yes, very soon, very soon He's coming again. And He says, when He comes, at the time I visit them, they shall be cast down. Verse 15. That makes all the difference, isn't it? Now the Lord has a message for all of us here. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, in case you are discouraged, disheartened, why our church is so few, when I go to society, they all look at me, you funny people. BP's. Is it British Petroleum or what? And you feel so small, isn't it? When they gather big, big crowds, we are just a few people. And we always talk out of turn, out of turn. We don't go along with the crowd, don't flow with the stream. You are out, odd man out. Does it matter? No. Verse 16. Thus said the Lord, stand in the ways and see. Don't stand with the crowd. Stand apart from the crowd. Don't be afraid to be counted with the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, you know, when Jesus went to the cross, who went with Him? Nobody. Alone. Alone. But I say, you follow Him. Alone you follow Him. You'll never go wrong. Why? He is the ever-living Savior. Go with Him. Don't be afraid. So He says, verse 16, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old path that leads to the old rugged cross where the Prince of Glory died for you and me. That is the safe path, you know. You say, well, it's a very terrible road. It may be. Physically speaking, a very terrible road. Suffering, shame, and curse. Oh, it is a curse to follow the road of the cross, isn't it? Yes, it is a curse. In the eyes of the world, it is a curse. But there is life. There the Prince of Life gave His life for you and me. And He says, where is the good way? Ask for the old paths. When our church was founded in 1950, 46 years ago, not many of you here were there at that time. I dare say not more than 3 or 4 of you were there at that time. But we took a stand. People pointed their fingers at us. BP's, where do you come from? How did you get out of this ground? And who are you? Oh, dear friends, we took the stand. Thank God we did. And we never moved from that stand. That's more important, is that right? You start well, end well. You start well, don't end badly. You start well in the Word of God. You stand in the old path. Keep on going in the old path. Don't let anything move you. Today you are BP. It gives you no glory, no advantage, nothing. Only one thing. Suffering, privation, loneliness. Be with the Lord Jesus. That's all He gives you today. But we are not living for today. We are living for the day when the Lord comes, it says here. When He comes, all those people who stand today and glory today, they will fall down because He will take a judgment of them. Now look, the Lord says, ask for the old paths. We started out in 1950, and by the year 1988, there were about 35 groups of BPs. Today, 1996, 8 years after the breakup of the BP Church, many of them are falling away into the new paths. New evangelicals, liberals, charismatics, going that way. You say, well, they are doing pretty well, you know, doing pretty well. It's not the trend. Not the trend, but the end that counts. Today, they are riding high. The end that counts. I say, dear friends, the old path leads at the end to safety. Where does it say? It says here, listen. Thus said the Lord, ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find what? Rest unto your souls. What is rest? You run a race. There are some who fall by the wayside. Some will turn back. Some will stray away. But the best are those who run the whole way, the old path. And when they reach the end, it is the safe way because there's a rest. That's what you want, right? Of course. Don't run and fall into a ditch and finish. But run the old path because the Lord is waiting there. And He has a crown of glory that fadeth not away for you and me who run the race. And then what? He gives us rest. Rest means rewards, means no more labors. When the Lord comes, our labors come to an end. Do you know that? If so, work for Him today. Labor for Him today. We have only a limited time to serve Him. The Reformation of the 16th century is carried over to the 20th century. Very soon we are going to have a 21st century Reformation movement. I invite you to come with us. Join us. I'm preparing a Bible. I've mentioned this before, please. I mentioned it again so you can pray for me. You say, what's the matter with you? Can't you buy Bibles? Of course you can buy Bibles. You are still buying Bibles. But we are going to print a Bible that is different. All the Bible is the same. We don't touch the Bible at all. The King James Bible will be preserved. But there will be guide notes on why you read the Bible, where the Bible came from, how to read the Bible, how to love the Bible. You see, you buy a Bible, it doesn't tell you all those things. And what's more, it will have chapters to tell you the perils of today. Which Bible tells you about the perils of today? I don't know any Bible that does. Frankly, you go to the bookshops and look for Bibles. So the Lord has laid this burden on me to bring the Bible that will tell people about the signs of the times, the nearness of the Lord's coming, the perils of the ecumenical movement, and why you will not find safety in the ecumenical movement except for 3.5 years. Don't live for 3.5 years, or even for 7 years, or even for 70 years. No good. You'll find safety and security in the old path. And so we are going to print a Bible that is old path Bible. And those who buy it will be told how they ought to conduct themselves and to ask for the old path and to walk therein so that they may find security, peace and rest. That's why we are going to print a Bible of the Reformation for the 21st century. Oh, dear friends, there's much, much more to serving the Lord than meets the eye today. In the 16th century, God raised one man, Martin Luther. Not that there were not others, but this man played a pivotal role. One man who lighted a spark, and that spark set afire the whole Reformation movement, which was about to take off. I hope you're following. The Lord was moving in many hearts around Europe, right? People were asking questions. But it took one man to have the courage one day to challenge the powers that be with 95 hard questions that they could not answer. Why is it, you say, if I pay money, my soul gets out of purgatory? Can you answer that? Why is it that when men have money to buy a piece of paper called an indulgence, and my father's soul in purgatory will come up faster? Is it true? They could answer. How is it that if a person sins, he must go to a priest and kneel down before the priest and confess to the priest? Where does it say in the Bible? No answer. So many other questions they could not answer. The whole of Europe rose up. One man lit a spark. The whole of Europe stood up. The flame of revival, of the Reformation, of renewal came over the church, and God raised the Protestant church. Today, you hardly hear the word Protestant. Who's protesting now? Nobody. Everybody's happy. Why are you such a troublemaker? Always protesting. Protestants. So, forget the word.
Ah, Reformation also forget.
So Martin Luther asked those questions. Who was Martin Luther? He was a priest and a monk in the church, the established church. Only one church at that time, and it had supreme power. Everyone in Europe under the control of that church. Kings and queens and lords and ladies, all under the control. And Martin Luther was one of them. He studied. He followed. He knew all the dogmas, all the doctrines, and he followed. So he asked, how can I be justified before God? That's the most important question, right? For you and me. For every seeking soul. How can I, a sinner, be justified before God? What is the way to justification? Well, how can I earn my salvation? These and other questions puzzled him. One day he says, I must go to the holy city. And there surely I will find out the solution. The answer to all my questions. So he went to the holy city. There he saw. Holy city was the most unholy place on earth. The whole priesthood was immersed in the grossest, almost filthy immorality and sins that you can ever think of. There he found, this is the holy city. However, I'm going to find out how I can achieve justification to God. And the church says, I must do penance and self-mortification. You know what is self-mortification? Inflict pain on yourself that you find merit, you gain merit. Can you imagine? Take a cat of nine tails and hood your back until the blood comes out. Then you get merit. So, Martin Luther found this pilot's staircase. Supposedly, the staircase on which Pilate stood to try Jesus is now rebuilt in Rome. And if you will climb this staircase of Pilate with your bare knees up the whole stairs, you gain merit. How wonderful. If that is so, I will do it. Martin Luther went up that staircase. I ran about the whole city like a madman to all the holy places, because the teaching was the more holy places you visit, the more merit you get. I ran about like a madman to churches, convents, chapels. I said a dozen masses. I almost wish my father and mother were dead so that I might have availed myself the opportunity to help their souls out of purgatory. Oh yes, I'm now here, I'm able to say more masses and more prayers and gain more merit for them to get out of purgatory, out of hell. So he climbed Pilate's staircase on his bare knees, saying his rosary prayers with every step of the way. Surely now God will be satisfied with me. Surely now I will gain some merit for my justification before God. The word of God convicted him. Not by works of righteousness that you have done. For the word of God says, all your righteousnesses before me are but filthy rags to reckon for your justification. Dear friends, if there is anyone here who is still thinking, oh, I will gain my merit somehow, I'll try very hard, I'm very sincere, I work hard for my salvation, the word of God says, you are finished. There's no way. You can give all your fortune to the church. You can even give your body to be burned for the church. You can suffer for yourself, for the church. All these come to nothing, absolutely nothing before God, until he turned to the word of God. How can I know the way of salvation? Not by climbing stairs on your knees. Not by flogging yourself until you bleed. Not by fasting, by penance, by confession to the priest, by all these things. But the word of God in Romans 1, please turn there. Romans 1. Romans 1, 2 verses only. Verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews and to the Greeks. Verse 17. For therein, in the gospel, is revealed the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Ah, the whole gospel truth dawned on this man, Martin Luther. Not by my climbing stairs on my bare knees. Not by flogging myself and do all these things to earn my merit with God. How can I be saved? The just shall live by faith of the Lamb of God at this table. Will you remember that there was a person called Jesus? Do you? There was a person called Jesus, sent of God, the only Savior of the world, and He paid my price. He paid for my sins with His own life blood. And there on Calvary's cross, He shed His blood for me. Now I look to Him by faith, I am saved. This is the whole gist of salvation in a nutshell. The just shall live by faith, not by works of righteousness which we have done. When this message was preached throughout the Europe, millions and millions stood up and said, that's it. Thank God for the gospel. Back to the word of God, sola scriptura. Everyone wanted the Bible. Everyone read the Bible. People were converted. Sinners were saved. Church was revived. Missions were started to send people out to save the unsaved. This is the Reformation, dear friends. What are you doing about it? Thanks be unto God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, to shine into the heart of Martin Luther, and today to shine into your heart. How come you know the gospel? How come you recognize the Savior? Because God was merciful, and He shined His light into your heart, that you may understand that you cannot save yourself. Only God can save you through the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior. Not the movement, not the system, not the ecumenical movement, but the Word of God. So, Reformation gave us a new church, a new movement, the Protestant Church. Now you get the background, the history of the Protestant Church to which we belong, but which is rapidly disintegrating, rapidly disappearing out of the face of this earth. The Protestant Church going very quick to be absorbed into the ecumenical church. So we thank God. Do you? Thank God that you know the truth, and I pray that you will stand on the truth and you will never, never forsake the truth. Sola Scriptura. Sola Gratia. Grace alone. Sola Fide. Faith alone. Christ alone. We don't need any other mediator. Not Mary, not the saints, not anyone, not the priest. Only Jesus. You follow Him. This is the message of the Reformation. No other message. That you stand fast. You stand fast because the day will reveal it. And it is not a far-off day. Not a far-off day. I'm saying this again to you. Not a far-off day. No, say, well, I got to follow the Lord Jesus. Maybe another 20 or 30 years. I don't think you have those years ahead of you. It may be 5 or 10 years at the very most. The Lord's coming is so near. The Reformation tells us you be prepared and be ready. After all, millions perished in the Reformation for their faith. How about you? Are you afraid? God help us. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, grant to us a clear vision of Thy truth. Help us that we will love the truth and be ready to suffer for it if need be. Lord, strengthen the faith of Thy people, that here may arise a new movement of men and women who will go out and spread the good word to those who are still without the truth. Bless everyone who hears this word. In Jesus' name, Amen.